now, if you would join us for hymn 581, all four verses. Please rise.
You have to come down to either one of these two sides, and I was able to go to our denominational meeting on Tuesday this week, and at the beginning of our meeting, we flew in a couple of pastors. One of them was from Florida, and another one was from Michigan. They shared their stories with us. Today I wanted to talk about the pastor from Florida. His name is Jose. Jose grew up in Venezuela. When he turned 16, he was invited to a Bible study. Him and his twin brother. At that time, Jose felt like he was called to do something different with his life. Jose, at that time, felt like he was called to be a church planter. At 16 years old, he knew in his heart, as a new Christian, that he was to be a church planter, to plant churches in Venezuela, where he lived. So, Jose and his identical twin brother, they set out to plant churches in Venezuela. And they were led throughout Venezuela to some different cities, and they started churches. Jose started churches. And today there are dozens of churches that have been planted because of the work that Jose started when he was 16. See, the model that they had for churches was that if they got a church started, that church's main focus was to plant more churches. So you have churches that are starting up, and while they're starting up, they're planting churches too. And it just grows and grows and grows like a big tree. A few years ago, Jose was in Spain talking about the church planting that he had been doing in Venezuela. And I think it was there that he ran into an American, and the American said, "You know what? I need you to come to the United States so that you can continue planting churches." He was kind of surprised, but he ended up coming to Florida now. And in Florida, he's planting a church. And this was the part that really stuck out at me. He told us how much he appreciated and loved Reformed theology. The very doctrine that we hold on to here at First Reformed Church, he looks at that doctrine, at that theology, and he says, "This is the picture that I think is best when it comes to how we interpret Scripture." And I was pretty excited because I did not grow up in the Reformed Church. And I, as I was exploring seminary and as I was learning about theology, I found Reformed theology to be really refreshing when it came to the truth about God's Word. And to hear this from a fellow from Venezuela who said, "Oh yeah, the Reformed tradition is catching on globally." And I was like, "Oh, that's super exciting. That the same doctrines that we hold up are being held up around the world." And then, even more exciting than that, for us here in the Reformed Church in America, the church that Jose is planting, he's doing it in partnership with the Reformed Church in America. We're connected to what Jose is doing down in Florida. After hearing what Jose had to say, I was really excited. I was really excited that God is working. God is working in an incredible way in our churches and in people around the globe through the tradition that we are in. I was amazed. But at the same time, I was also convicted. I think that conviction comes out in a big way in our scripture today. We are going to be looking at Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This is a letter from Jesus given to the Apostle John for the church in Sardis. But I think that it's also meant for us too. So, let us pray, and then we are going to look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Gracious God, we ask for help today. Lord, we ask that you build us up through the reading and interpretation of your word so that we do your will. So that more and more we fall in love with Jesus, your son. More and more we do what he's called us to do. We ask for this in his name. Amen. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." We have a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is our creator and sustainer. His Son, Jesus, is our redeemer. We recognize that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We recognize that Jesus was pierced and Jesus' blood flowed down from his side. And we recognize that that life-giving flow, Jesus' blood spilled on the cross for us, means everlasting life for us. So as Christians, we know that we are to plunge under that life-giving flow, that we might receive life, life abundant, so that at the end of days, although we are sinners, we will be cleansed white as snow by his precious blood. So we have the Father, we have the Son, and we also have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Father and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit down upon us, and the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, and he's our great helper, our great counselor, our great advocate, our great paraclete. These are all different words used to describe the Holy Spirit. On Tuesday, the Holy Spirit lifted me up in excitement because there's some wonderful works going on around our country and globe when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit also helped me in another way. The Holy Spirit convicted me. It made me wonder, this conviction, have I stopped caring about the lost? Have I stopped caring about the lost? I don't think that I've stopped caring about the lost, but on the other hand, what I saw in Jose, this incredible yearning to reach out with the good news of Jesus, this living out this picture that I'm to care for my neighbor more than I care for myself, and care for them so much that I gracefully, mercifully tell them about Jesus as Savior, I think that I'm falling short. And I know this to be true because I remember when I first became a Christian. I remember the zeal that I had for the gospel. I remember the many more conversations that I had with people about Jesus in those first few years. I remember the conversations that I had with coworkers. I remember it being different. The town of Sardis is located in Asia. It's in the same area as many of the other churches that we have explored. Sardis was at this time that this was written. Sardis was not quite the powerhouse of a city that they used to be. The height of this town, Sardis, was about 600 years B.C. About 600 years before Jesus, this town was the top town in all the region. They were the most powerful city back then. But no longer today. They had some fatal flaws in the city. They were overconfident in their city. Their city was built on a giant mountain. And they thought that it was undefeatable. They thought that nobody could ever conquer them. But they were wrong. Let's see here. Some of you guys have probably seen one of these. Maybe you have one at home. You can use this to strengthen up your hands. I'm sure if I sat here and did this for an hour while I watch TV with my family, they get kind of annoyed because it clinks a little bit. But there was one time a young man was showing me a similar device. It was like one of these, but it wasn't quite like one of these. It was made for pinching, like this. And he was walking around with his little device, and he was pinching it. And I was like, "What are you doing? What is that thing? Why would a young 17-year-old carry this thing around? What is it?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm getting into rock climbing." And you might not know this, but with rock climbing, pinching and strength in your pinching, for pinching is really important. That's how you hold on. Very often when you're rock climbing, you have to have great pinch strength. So he was building up his pinching. Well, that's how this city got defeated. A couple of the conquerors along the way, they saw this incredible city built on a giant mountain, and they wondered, how are we going to get up there? And maybe one of the leaders in their army said, "You know what? We have a young man. I think he could climb that. I think he could go along the rocks there, jump over that crevasse, and get in." And that's what happened. Young soldier climbed up, snuck in, opened up the front door, and the whole place was defeated. It happened twice in this city. They thought that they were undefeatable, but they were not. And they are no longer the great city that they used to be. Now, the church in Sardis really seems to have the same thing going on for them. The church in Sardis has a reputation of being alive. But Jesus declares them dead, or almost dead. Maybe when they think about ministry, they remember fondly some of the ministries of the past. And perhaps they remember those ministries like yesterday, like they had just accomplished those ministries. But in fact, the ministries that they're dreaming about, the ones that they're so fond of, were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Perhaps the people in Sardis used to really, really dive into Scripture and prayer. But again, it's just a memory. It's not something they're currently and actively doing together. Or maybe like me, the people in Sardis remember how much zeal they had for the lost. That they yearned to spread the good news of Jesus, but no longer are they doing it. And perhaps maybe they're doing things their own way and not paying attention or even asking God what He would like for them to do in the church. Jesus calls them dead. But there's an opportunity for them to be alive. God is calling them through His Son Jesus to wake up. I remember a story in Scripture about the prodigal son. This was a son who decided to go his own way. He took his inheritance before his father had even passed away, and he left home and started diving into wild living in another place until he squandered it all away. And he ended up being destitute. He ended up working for a farmer, feeding pigs better food than what he was eating himself. Who knows how long he did that before God reached into his life and gave him the faith that he needed to wake up and to see that he could return home. That there's life abundant at home, and that he could go back. And he did. And when his father saw him far off, his father ran to him and embraced him and killed the fatted calf for him. Jesus is telling Sardis to wake up and return to the loving embrace of the Father. I think in the message today from Jesus to Sardis, I think that it's a call for me to wake up. I think that it's a call for us to wake up. God's not done with us here at First Reformed Church. You guys have been through a lot in the last decade, but God did not shut this place down. We continue to gather together as a body of Christ week after week and do ministry together. We're a church of Jesus Christ. And we are called to spread the good news of Jesus to our community, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, and sometimes even to our own children and grandchildren. Today I wanted to introduce you to a fellow that I think can help us out a little bit this morning. His name is Cool Carl. And he's gonna help us out with some lingo. I don't know about you, but I don't know all that much about some of the generations that are coming up. One of those generations is Generation Z, and Cool Carl, he's gonna bring us in so that we have a better understanding of some of the new language that's out there. So I'll let you watch Cool Carl.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carl. So it seems like every other week, the kiddos of Generation Z seem to come out with new slang terms that, quite frankly, confuse the rest of us older generations. So the goal today is to learn how to speak some of that Gen Z lingo. And joining me today on how to translate some phrases is our favorite spokesperson for the Gen Z kids, my cousin Brock. Say hello, Brock. Brock, say hello.
Sup.
All right, let's get started.
you guys have the Wi-Fi password?
All right, Brock, we're going to start with some simple ones. Yeah. Okay. Hello. How are you? Sa. Friends. Fam. Family. Fam Jam. It was a fun event. The fest was lit. Okay. I'm about to leave. I'm finna dip set. Those are some neat shoes. Them kicks are dripping. I would be glad to help. Bet. My favorite team lost. Dudes took an L. My favorite team lost very bad. Dudes got clapped. He seems upset. He little mad. He seems very upset. He big mad. I like this music. That's a bop. I'm not lying. No cap. I'm sorry that happened to you. Oof. That's an interesting statement. Weird flex, but okay. I'm not a fan of these appetizers. These apps are booty. I completely agree with that statement. Facts. I agree.
Yeet yeet.
Excuse me.
Yeet.
Wow, that's exciting news.
Yeet.
Congratulations on your baby boy.
Yeet.
What does yeet even mean?
Yeet is yeet.
That doesn't help. It's like when fam comes slipping in with their dripping swag jamming to some sick bop. And no cap, you know these facts are about to be litty fresh to death. You're like, oh. I'm not big mad at that bitter response.
Yeet.
I don't get it. Weird flex, but okay. I don't know. Hello.
All right, so some of you, I'm sure, were laughing. Others of you were intrigued, but I'm sure that others of you were completely and utterly confused. We're called to reach out to young people. We're called to reach out to people of every generation, and we've got some work to do. If you found yourselves confused, we've got some serious work to do, an understanding so that we can communicate clearly with the generations to come. At our meeting on Tuesday, Jose challenged us. He said something like this: how far are you willing to go to give up your own personal preferences to make church a place that speaks in the language of our youth, of our neighbors, of our coworkers? How far are you willing to go? And I think his point was we should be willing to go all the way to reach them. So, sup, fam? What if this fest was lit? What if our young people stopped saying I'm finna dip set and instead said the church was dripping? Oh, crrr! And now, let us rise together. We're gonna sing together number 154, We Bow Down, to whatever God would have us do as a church.